Lots of changes proposed for parts 61 and 141, and Bob Miller likes them all. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, also of Bob Miller Flight Training at the Buffalo Lancaster Airport. And we're going to talk today about some changes coming to Part 61 of the FAR. Bob, thanks for taking some time out today.
Paul, it's always a pleasure to be with you here.
I noticed this come up in the news a few weeks ago, and you wrote about it in the September edition of Over the Airwaves. Under the headline, "We saw these rule changes coming." Some of these things make you look like you're sitting in front of a crystal ball. I want to ask you about a few of them. There's some changes to the way Part 141 schools are going to conduct themselves, which are significant, and in some cases, recognition of the changing face of general aviation aircraft. And let's start by talking about the idea of combining private and instrument training in the same simultaneous course.
Well, this has been something that we've been doing over at Bob Miller Flight Training since we've been teaching, and that is combining the private and the instrument training curriculum. But we can do this under Part 61. Under Part 141 at an FAA-approved flight school, they can't do that kind of training to any extent without an approved TCO training course outline. This proposed change will allow that TCO to be developed. But there's no question about it. Instrument training makes any VFR pilot a better VFR pilot. And I like to say that quality instrument training then makes a VFR pilot a good instrument pilot. But any way you look at it, instrument training is good. And I think the FAA is certainly wise to consider this change and allow us to make this part of the official training curriculum options, that we can take a student. And the student in this case could be either a young person destined to fly for the airlines. He wants to fly professionally, or she wants to go out there and get that job flying a corporate jet. The private moves right into the instrument. They should be taught at the same time, in my opinion. It also works for the older individual, the more successful later in life individual who says, I would like to learn to fly, purchase an airplane, and use it in support of my business. And immediately that person is going to be thrust into the instrument environment if he wants to have or she wants to have any utility out of that airplane. So this is good. I give a pat on the back to the FAA for coming up with this change and the other changes most of the other changes that they're proposing in Part 61. These are good things, and it's evidence of the fact that the FAA does seem to be listening to us out here. They do see the logic of the things that we've been talking about for some time.
Well, Bob, it occurs to me, too, that one of the continuing, frustrating, frequent causes of fatal accidents is continued VFR flight into IMC. And I guess to use the analogy of a tool set, combining these two courses into one essentially acknowledges that up until now, we've essentially been sending two different people out to work on the same mechanical project, one with a, you know, Ace Hardware 995 socket set and the other with a full-blown, you know, snap-on mechanics set. I mean, the fact is that VFR pilots wind up in this stuff.
Well, yes, and supporters of that the old way, and I've had numerous debates with this, say that if you empower a student with a skill set, that student will use that skill set whether he's qualified or not. And that means if you train them how to fly in real clouds and you take them into the real stuff, as soon as they get an opportunity, they're gonna go venture into that because you've given them a little bit of knowledge. And I think that's hogwash all the way up and down. I don't believe that a little bit of knowledge is gonna hurt somebody. I think any little bit of knowledge is gonna tell them, listen, stay clear of this stuff if you're not qualified and certificated to do it. But coming back to the fact is the number one weather-related cause of all fatal accidents is, as you point out, Paul, continued VFR flight into IMC conditions. I think if we had more pilots trained, more private pilots trained in instrument conditions, they would see the potential errors of their way and they would stay far from it. I know we've pretty much tossed the view-limiting device, or hood as it's sometimes called, put it into our airport museum and saying, this is the way instrument pilots used to be taught. This is the way private pilots used to be taught, with this fantasy blinder on their eyes, making believe that they were in real conditions. And instead, we wait for those conditions to exist. I know I was teaching all day today, and the curriculum on several of our students called for one ground reference maneuvers, and we didn't have any wind, so we couldn't teach that. And then we were to teach instrument flight solely by reference to the instruments, and we had clear blue skies. So we don't resort to the foggles or the view limiting device. We hold that training until we get a cloudy day. And that's what we need to be doing. But that's a little bit different than the combined private and instrument training. The combined private and instrument training will just go a long way in this notion of primacy of learning, that which a student learns first, he learns best. And if they learn instrument training right in the early days of their training, learn to fly and trust those instruments, that's going to help them all the way through their later career.
All right, we'll be back in a moment to talk more about upcoming changes to Part 61 and Part 141 with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, talking about some rule changes coming to the FAR. Bob, we talked about combining private and instrument training. One of the big things that I noticed was that the FAA has really done an about-face on the ground school limitations on Part 141 schools. I remember you used to have the right colored drapes and the right pattern wallpaper and the right number of feet from a window in order to be conducting Part 141 instruction. Now, the FAA is talking about doing away with brick and mortar altogether when the training course is online.
Well, you said it, Paul. I mean, you just described it, and you're absolutely right, because we're going through that in our own 141 certification. The thing that held us up for these past many months is the fact that we did not have an isolated classroom or private training suites to work with our students. Our school was too public, too publicly accessible. And now this change is coming along right at the right time for us. We do use an online computer-based training program, and that has made unnecessary that which the FAA had been looking for all these years. And this change will eliminate that requirement. We're thrilled to see that. And again, it's evidence of the fact that somebody over there in the FAA is listening, and they're watching, and they're seeing what in fact is relevant and what is no longer relevant.
All right, there's a couple of other changes being proposed, Bob, that appear to me to have to do a lot with the changing nature of the GA fleet. One is the commercial certificate requirements, and I was thinking about this a couple of years ago when I realized that companies like SatsAir and a couple of others were using Cirrus SR-22s in air taxi service, and these are aircraft that are obviously lending themselves to commercial work, and yet they are not traditional complex aircraft, and there's been a change in that regard.
Well, yeah, and you know, the requirement to have a retractable landing gear, you can hardly buy an airplane today with a retractable landing gear, certainly single engine. You'd have to go out and find an old Arrow, Piper Arrow, and stick it in the fleet, or an RG-172, and these are older, aging aircraft very few people are even, you can't buy them new. And as a result, this is a requirement that doesn't have a lot of relevancy, when at the same time we're putting people out in technically advanced cockpits. There's no requirement to have any kind of training in technically advanced cockpits, and yet most commercial pilots will go on and fly these kinds of airplanes. So again, kudos to the FAA. They recognize the times are changing. They're proposing an elimination of the complex airplane and replacing it with a requirement to obtain 10 hours in advanced instrument instruction. Again, this makes nothing but good sense. And again, great credit goes to the FAA in this, and it's really nice to see these changes. And there are more changes coming down the way. Another one that is either been passed or will shortly be passed is a change in the instrument IPC, the instrument proficiency check, which required the instructor to give a sampling of the requirements of the practical test for the practical test standards. You know, a sampling, we would do maybe a hold, we would do an ILS, but now the new rule is requiring the IPC to include all elements that are included in the instrument practical test. Now, this will represent a burden to pilots, and I'm surprised that AOPA let this one get through. This is something that very often large membership organizations will, you know, they'll resist a change like this that adds a burden to the pilots. But this one's getting through, and I think it's a good thing.
Okay, well, I guess this does mostly make sense to me, especially with, the advent of the very light jet and everything. But going back to the requirement for the commercial certificate for just a second, advanced instrument instruction is what? Is that just more intense instrument meteorological conditions in which you're being tested, or are they talking specifically about glass panels?
I think they're talking about glass panels. The technically advanced aircraft where we are using glass panels and primary flight displays and multifunction displays. But even so, you can get a commercial certificate without an instrument rating. And here again, you could be a VFR pilot, commercial pilot without an instrument rating, and be just as vulnerable as continued flight into IMC conditions as an instrument, as a non-instrument rated commercial pilot. This will change that. This will make even the VFR commercial pilot, VFR only commercial pilot, much more sensitive to what the real world of instrument flying is all about.
Well, Bob, interesting stuff. Who knows what we might get changed next if we keep doing these podcasts.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Paul.
You can find the latest edition of Bob's newsletter at overtheairwaves.com. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.